Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the discipline of work. Are you one of those people who really hates to work? I certainly hope not, but I think there's a very prevalent attitude in America today of a deep hatred and resentment against work. We are being encouraged constantly by the media to live for leisure time. That's what's supposed to be the happy time, the leisure time. And the only reason anybody works is just in order to have leisure. I would hope that maybe in just these few minutes today, we can catch a new vision of the glory and the blessing that work is. I've been trying to learn more of how blessed it is that God has given us work. I really don't think that I've ever hated work. I have to say that some kinds of work are less to my taste than others, and writing is hard work for me. It's hard to make myself stick at the desk and do just this one thing for X number of hours when there are so many other things that I would like to be doing, like housework, for example. I like housework and find that a whole lot easier. But God worked for 6 days when he was creating the world, and then he rested. Does that teach us something about the proportions of work and leisure? It doesn't say that God worked 8-hour days and then watched TV for the evenings. It says that he worked for 6 days. I don't know exactly what that does mean. But the proportion is 1 day in 7 is meant to be a rest day. Now, rest, in the biblical sense, surely is a very different concept than leisure or relaxation. Relaxation is a letting go. And sometimes people let themselves go in ways absurdly beyond what God ever intended. We go back to foolish, silly, wasteful, childish activities instead of things which would really renew us and recreate us. When we talk about recreation, we're using a word that really comes from recreation. But God rested 1 day. The harder you know how to work, the better you will know how to rest. I think of peasant farmers. They work hard. The Indians that I lived with in the jungle, they worked very hard. Most of the men worked a good 12-hour day, and the women 10 or 12 hours. But when they came back to their houses, they sat quietly in their hammocks. They rolled string for hammocks, or the men made darts and poison for their blowguns. They weren't idle even when they were sitting at home, but they were sitting quietly. And then they would go to bed at a sensible hour. Work is a necessity that we must learn to esteem. It is a gift from God. It is our salvation in this world. The Bible says, "If any man will not work, let him not eat." Now, what is Christian work? Is Christian work a particular kind of work? I don't think so. I think Christian work is just work which is done by a Christian and offered to God. It's the offering up to God that makes the work Christian. I could come here to this studio and spout off on this microphone day after day and say that I was working very hard, and that would not necessarily make it Christian, even if the subject of my talks were Christian. The work that I do is the work of a Christian, and as a Christian, I offer that work to God. Before Janet and I go on the air, we pray, offering what we do here in this studio to God. Not one of us is excluded from serving God, and there is nothing that is beneath a Christian, and no job that needs to be boring or useless. It's the line of duty that's marked out for us by God, and it is then, when we know that it is the line of duty that He has given to us, that we can offer it back to Him with thanksgiving. Do you feel as though you don't have the opportunity to serve God? Maybe you haven't thought of offering to Him the job that He's given you. Do you think that that job is beneath you, that it's dirty and disgusting and degrading and it's not worth anything? What makes work worth anything? It's the doing it for God. Is the job boring and useless? Well, it may be boring, but it may not be useless. It may be useless, and it may not be boring. But in either case, it can be offered to God. Peeling of onions is not necessarily an exciting job, but you could peel onions for the glory of God. Most people have had little choice of the work that they do throughout history. We sometimes forget that in a world where the options seem almost limitless. If you're someone who is out of a job right now and desperately looking for work, then you probably are aware of the value of work and the privilege of work in a way that those who are plodding on day after day with a routine job have forgotten. We live in a time when people introduce themselves and then say, well, what do you do? Usually what we mean by that question is, what do you do that earns money? We're not really very interested in what people do unless it has something to do with their money-earning capacities, some indication of their achievements. But besides the money-earning work that you do, there are a lot of other things you do, aren't there? You make a bed, you mow a lawn, you wash the car, you take somebody to church, you vote, you love your wife, you discipline your children, you tithe your income. Those are work, aren't they, those things? Do you think of doing it for God? Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me." And when you see him, you may say to him, "But when did I ever mow your lawn, Lord? When did I ever wash your car?" And that would be his answer. If you did it for one of these, you did it for me. Many different people in history have practiced the presence of God in very many different ways. Brother Lawrence practiced the presence of God in the kitchen of a monastery. Sophie the scrubwoman did floors for Jesus. Dag Hammarskjöld, as Secretary General of the United Nations, offered his work to God, finding the explanation of how a man should live a life of active social service in the writings of the great medieval mystics. Listen to this from his journal. "For whom self-surrender had been the way to self-realization, and who in singleness of mind and inwardness had found strength to say yes to every demand which the needs of their neighbors made them face, and to say yes also to every fate life had in store for them. Love, that much misused and misinterpreted word, for them meant simply an overflowing of the strength with which they felt themselves filled when living in true self-oblivion. And this love found natural expression in an unhesitant fulfillment of duty and an unreserved acceptance of life, whatever it brought them personally, of toil, suffering, or happiness." That's Dag Hammarskjöld's view of work. What are the demands of your neighbors, your family, your job? This is the line of duty that God has marked out for you. The Indians of the jungle had very few choices. The child with the baby brother strapped to his back, the grandmother with her basket going out to plant, the young boy with his blowgun expected to bring home meat for supper. Nobody even thought of there being any virtue in it. Nobody asked anybody else, "What do you do?" because everybody knew that they did what they had to do. It was simply necessity. Duty is good. And as Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 17, verse 10. It is the same with yourselves. When you have done everything that you are told to do, you can say, "We are not much good as servants, for we have only done what we ought to do." Work in the kingdom of God should be taken as a matter of course. It's wrong to draw a distinction, I think, between what we're paid to do or we can't get out of, and what we choose to do for others. My, quote, job, unquote, versus the extras. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, Paul says this, "We shall not make any wild claims, but simply judge ourselves by that line of duty which God has marked out for us. And that line includes our work on your behalf. We do not exceed our duty when we embrace your interests, for it was our preaching of the gospel which brought us into contact with you. Our pride is not in matters beyond our proper sphere, nor in the labors of other men." I was interested in that phrase, our proper sphere. Was Paul looking for fulfillment? He was only wanting to operate within his proper sphere. Is God likely to ask us to do what is beneath us? This question will never trouble you again if you think about the fact that the Lord of the universe washed feet. The discipline of work. Receive it as a gift from God. Thank Him for it and offer it back to Him that He may sanctify it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.